Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Aqtas Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Aqtas Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu. The title is Rangalayengi Kab Meri Aahein. Rangalayengi Kab Meri Aahein Pir Madine Ki Janib Ko Jaye پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں جب نظر آئے سبز گنبد جب نظر آئے سبز گنبد کیونکہ صلی علی جو جائے کیونکہ صلی علی جو جائے جب حضوری کا لما تارا جب حضوری کا لما تارا ان کو افسانہ من سنائے ان کو افسانہ من سنائے رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائے اب نہ جانا اگر ہم کو واپس اب نہ جانا اگر ہم کو واپس چھپ کے یہ مانگے دعائیں چھپ کے یہ مانگے دعائیں تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب تیرے در پر میرا سر ہو یا رب کیا نہیں اس طرح تجھ پر اتائے کیا نہیں اس طرح تجھ پر اتائے رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائیں مجھ کو اپنا بنا لو کرم سے مجھ کو اپنا بنا لو کرم سے ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائیں ملتزم پر یہ مانگے دعائیں دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت دونوں عالم کی کیا ہے حقیقت جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر اتائے جتنے عالم ہو تجھ پر اتائے رنگ لائیں گی کب میری آہیں پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائے تیرا درد سارے عالم میں تیری پریک یا رب سارے عالم میں تیری پریک یا رب تیرا درد محبت سنائے تیرا درد محبت سنائے تیرا درد محبت سنا کر تیرا درد محبت سنا کر سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنائے سارے عالم کو مجنوں بنائے
يا من كم جنوب لك فلا من كم جنوب لك من مولا تركي تقعي من مولا تركي تقعي ريض لنجي كدمني أهل تير مدينة تجانب كجعي لو تطر بابا كم تريهم لوتي طلبت كم تريهم لوتي دوجها بول جاي لوتي دوجها بول جاي درب در جند تاهي أختر درب در جند تاهي أختر إذ لدردي محبتك طاي إذ لدردي محبتك طاي رنج لا يجي كبني أهي رنج لا يجي كبني أهي تير مدينة تجانب كجاي تير مدينة تجانب كجاي مجك أتنا بنام وكرم فيه مجك أتنا بنام وكرم فيه ملتزم تني ما عندي دعائي ملتزم تني ما عندي دعائي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد This beautiful bayan of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Zamana Tabriz Waqt Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Nawwar Allah Marqadahu Allah Rabbul Izzat has sent this great love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to teach us the real purpose of life, to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to get the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam. In order to learn and get the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam, we have to sit at the footsteps and we have to sit at we have to sit in the majalis of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that love. And once a person has got that love, then as Hazrat teaches us, Rang laayegi kab meri aaye, that in the middle of the night, at the time of the tahajjud, you'll be making du'as, and you'll be crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I want to be in the majlis of my beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When can I be present there, oh Allah? Please let me see the color of my tears. In other words, a person now is making dua that when can I be in back in Medina Sharif? And especially now, the present times we are going through, this is the mawsam of Hajj, where now it's supposed to be vibrant. Makkah Sharif supposed to be busy, Medina Sharif supposed to be busy. But Allah Ta'ala save me, all of us, our condition is such that we have restrictions. We should be crying more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't look at the outward restrictions of the world. We have to look at the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with this cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real presence in the darbar, in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to follow in the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the real love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Hazrat explains here also, that is to be seen how much durood am I reciting upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this time that we are going through, as our elders teaches us, that one great solution to solve these problems of all these restrictions to be removed is by reciting durood upon our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So myself, all of us, we all should be taught, thinking and looking at my own condition, that how much am I making dua that I want to be in Madinah Sharif. Despite what the conditions are, O Allah Ta'ala, please remove all these conditions from the face of the earth and open the ways for us. And when a person sees now the color of his tears, and by just begging to Allah Rabbul Izzat, this is also a great sign of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and the love of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now you see all of a sudden, Fir Madina ki janib ko jaye. Said, I am going towards Madina Sharif, I have got my ticket, I have got my visa, me, and where am I fit to be going towards that great Mubarak Majlis of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah Ta'ala has opened the way for me. So a person should be begging all the time, that oh Allah, I want to be in the darbar of your beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for this, a lot of durood we have to be reciting, and we have to check our lives. Is it coming according to sunnat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That this is the sign that why we are restricted, that we have deviated so much from the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that now we are even restricted from the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this we have to be crying and begging Allah Rabbul Izzat. And when a person gets this opportunity now, and Allah Ta'ala opens all the roads, and you see you coming close to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from a distance already you see the Mubarak resting place of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that beautiful green dome which gets the luster and the beauty actually from the Mubarak countenance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From far you see that beautiful dome, now you go into a state of ecstasy. And what is the sign of that ecstasy? You recite durood with more passion, more enjoyment, more love, that you present this durood in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Ta'ala has granted me this opportunity, I don't deserve to be present here, but oh my beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has brought me here, and now when you get the opportunity to go present your salat and salam in the darbar of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in which way, jab huduri ka alam ataho, unko afsana e gham sunaye, that when now you get the opportunity, this is the great gift, ata, it is only the favor of Allah. It's not anybody's birthright, it's not anybody that I have reached a high stage that I deserve to be in Madina Sharif. It is only and solely the favor and the special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah grants us this opportunity, then we will talk to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and present the pain of our hearts to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That, oh Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I appreciate these moments so much, that apna jana ho ghar humko wapas, chupke chupke ye mange duae. That we'll be telling Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam the pain of our hearts, to make dua for our islah, for our maghfirat. And together with that, oh our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now that Allah Ta'ala has brought us here through your special sadqah and barakat, now we don't want to leave this place. We want to be in your majlis all the time. And we want to pass away in Madina Sharif, where in such a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. And a person now begs and makes more dua. And we think of the dua of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Allahumma zukni shahadatan fi sabili, waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik. That now you begging Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for us also. And further, what we learn from the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this reality of life, that tere dar par mera sar ho ya Rab, jaan is tarah tujh par lutaye. Why Allah Ta'ala has sent Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us the value of life. And the real value of life is to become a true humble servant of Allah. And a true humble servant of Allah is all the time ready to give his life to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, all the time checking, am I obeying the commands of Allah? Now, when you visited Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn the etiquettes of love from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Hazrat is turning our attention towards Makkah Sharif. When you come to Kaaba Sharif, now in what way? That in such a way that you realize that I am just the ordinary humble slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, O Allah, my head at your threshold, in obedience to you, O Allah, in this way I should be sacrificing my life. All the time in the obedience of Allah. And this is the time for me particularly to see how much am I turning to Allah, how much am I making istighfar and tawbah, and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me His true slave. That when Allah ta'ala brings us in the court of Allah, in the masajid, which is the houses of Allah, that a person makes shukr. Oh Allah, me and you brought me here, I don't deserve it. A person is conscious that Allah has brought you here, brought us here, to stand in the court of Allah, we don't deserve. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, Ya Allah, we bring iman in you, you have brought us here. And we realize that no, Allah is so kind, a slave doesn't deserve any reward. But Allah brings us here, and then the reward Allah grants, we can't imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat explains to us what is the climax of life, and we learn from the friends of Allah what dua to make. When you get that splendid opportunity, particularly to be at Multazam, the place where all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam press their chest on the Kaaba Sharif, and they poured out their hearts and they made dua. What dua should we be really making? Mujhko apna bana lo karam se. Multazam pe ye mange duae. Lito Allah, I am just your ordinary useless servant, but please make me yours. Please make me yours and you become mine. And Allah Rabbul Izzat sees talab, how much desire we got. Allah Ta'ala doesn't see, Allah Ta'ala is so kind, Allah is mentioned. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought our souls that are so faulty and dirty. لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ. We are so inclined, and not just inclined, we are pulled towards haram. But Allah says, I will buy your soul. That your soul that is not worth anything, and in return, what a deal I will give you? I will give you Jannah. Such enjoyable, such a place where now you will get the majlis of Allah. You will get, you will be in the darbar of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we should be begging, as our Hazrat explained to us and our Dada Shaykh used to say, that if you get the opportunity to make dua, whether it's the time of tahajjud, and especially at Multazam, especially when you're in Haram Sharif, when you're at the darbar of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask for everything, but you didn't say, oh Allah, make me yours, and you become mine, you haven't asked for anything. And if you made only this one dua, then you have asked for everything. So this is the great blessings of being in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we learn iman. And the sign of iman is true love for Allah Rabbul Izzat. And this can only be attained by the love of the pious servant, which will now bring and enhance in our heart the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a person will realize, dono alam ki kya hai haqeeqat, jitne alam ho tujh par lutaye. That, oh Allah, that I sacrifice my life for you, what is this? That as much as the realms they can be, as I can spend everything for you, O Allah, this is not, it cannot compare for anything to be in your presence, that I become yours. In other words, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives us, we should be sacrificing for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so beautifully our Dada Shaykh has mentioned, that jaan di to di hui usi ka ki. Haq to ye hai ki haq ada hi nahi hui. That if you gave your life to Allah, you didn't do any great achievement, because this life Allah gave us. And this is the time to ponder and think, that now the climax of life is to sacrifice our life for Allah. And the time to ponder and to think of the incident of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, that how a young boy says that, Ya batifal ma tu'mar. So Allah wants my life, what is one life? 100,000 lives is not even enough to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is when the tarbiyat is made and the love of Allah ta'ala is put in the heart of the child, then he will give that type of answer. So this is what we come to learn here, how to gain this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And temptations will come in our lives, but how to trample those temptations and don't break the commands of Allah. And beg Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. And then when a person has got this reality, when the love of Allah ta'ala is boiling in your heart, now you realize that this is what the whole world needs. So the friends of Allah ta'ala, you see their life is, Sare alam mein fir fir ke ya Rab, tera dard muhabbat sunaye. They say, oh Allah, now I want to travel throughout the world, not for sightseeing, not for holidays today, how people are wasting their lives in and wasting their money and wasting their efforts in all the wrong things. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and now their heart pains that why aren't we not practicing the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are we not being the obedient servants of Allah Rabbul Izzat? Like Allah ta'ala consoles Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the pain of the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that every person becomes the obedient servant of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's condition, Allah says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ Allah yakunu mu'mineen. You feel like tearing your chest apart. Why isn't he becoming a believer? Why isn't he realizing which is the road to Jannah? So the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also the same. They get this love from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they travel in the world not for entertainment, not for any pleasure, but we see in the old age also, the friends of Allah ta'ala used to travel. And for what? To spread the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi in his old age, paralyzed. But why he came to South Africa and all these countries? That majalis of the zikr, of the love of Allah ta'ala should be established on the face of the earth. So Hazrat says that, oh Allah, we want to travel the earth and we want to explain to the people what is the real wealth. That is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tera darde muhabbat sunakar, sare alam ko majnu banaye. And we explain to people what is the true love and the true wealth. That is one drop of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now a person falls madly in love in what Allah. Now you become the obedient servants of Allah. Now you become truly mad. Otherwise people today are mad for sports. People are mad for other entertainment. And worse, people are mad for illicit relationships and wasting their lives. The real madness, like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make so much zikr of Allah that people call you a mad person. Like in today's time also, people will tell you that you're not following the law of the country, you're not doing this. Don't worry what people say. Worry that Allah ta'ala must be happy with me. I must obey Allah's commands as Allah wants us and Allah has taught us through our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when people tell you you are mad, then a person should be happy if you are mad in following the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you are obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person travels throughout the world to explain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sare alam ku majnu banakar, mere maula teri jeet gaye. What is the object of traveling and explaining to people the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat? That, oh Allah, that we will make the whole world mad. And now people will be just singing your praises. In other words, we'll become the true obedient servants of Allah. And this will draw the rahmat of Allah. This will draw peace, security, happiness in the entire world. Even non-Muslims will be benefiting. Even the animals will be benefiting. When we realize our object and purpose of life, that we have to be the humble slaves of Allah. And we have to be working to get the love of Allah. And when a person got this, you can't explain his closeness to Allah. Hazrat explains here, this is a very high position which Hazrat is explaining to us. At least we think of this and make dua that Allah give us an iota of this. Lazzati qurbe paakar teri hum, lazzati do jahan bhool jayein. Says, oh Allah, we get the enjoyment of your close proximity and we forget all the entertainment of both the worlds. Even Jannat, Jannat is all the beautiful ni'mats of Allah. Sar'an ko to we accepted. But the real enjoyment of Jannat is to be in the presence of Allah, to be in the majlis of Allah. Then a person forgets all the other pleasures of Jannat. So Hazrat is teaching us, and the real closeness to Allah, in one poem Hazrat says, apne qurb ka maza chakale, phir kabhi ranje duri mein na kar mubtala. Said, oh Allah, give us a taste of your closeness, an iota of your closeness, and then don't put us into difficulty by moving us away. And what moves us away from Allah? When we are disobedient of Allah. When we are unmindful and we are not conscious of the obedience of Allah. That is why it is so important that we have to come and get our medicine, our treatment in the company of the friends of Allah. Then do our zikr regularly, make our tilawat and make dua and beg Allah Ta'ala. Then we can just get an idea of this reality. And then Hazrat finally teaches us that dar badar dunta hai ye akhtar, ehle dard e muhabbat ko paaye. Now when the person got this burning love and he spread it throughout the world, now he's looking which heart is there that wants this love of Allah Ta'ala. And then he enjoys those people who sit in the majlis and come to learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the friends of Allah Ta'ala want. Not that they come, we come here and they become famous. No, their object and purpose is that how we can all get the pain of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah grant it out of His kindness and mercy to all of us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. Between the kitab, Hayat al-Muslimin, the fourth chapter, the love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, love Allah Ta'ala because He nourishes and sustains you, and love me because Allah Ta'ala loves me. It should not be inferred from this hadith that we have to love Allah Ta'ala only because He nourishes us. This hadith merely implies that one should be unable to comprehend the limitless and vast favors and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Then at least contemplate and understand this one great ni'mat of nourishment, rozi, rizq. No one can ever deny or ignore this obvious fact of Allah Ta'ala being the sole nourisher and sustainer. Hence understanding even this one single fact will induce in one love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 5. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, a villager came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will it be Qiyamah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what preparations have you made for it? He replied, I do not have much salat or fasting, this meant nafal, but I have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, every person will be with the one whom he loved. This means that on the day of Qiyamah, those who had loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be with him. Along with this great fortune, they will be in close proximity to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu then commented, after hearing this good news, Muslims became exceedingly happy. After having embraced Islam, nothing else besides their embracing Islam made them as happy as the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Note, the glad tidings conveyed in this hadith are of great significance. Even if one has no great stock of ibadat, of acts of ibadat, the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will secure the treasure of the treasure of divine proximity for one in the akhirat. Hadith number 6. Hazrat Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tahajjud salah, the whole night in his salah he recited a single verse until the morning. The ayat is that, O Allah, if you punish them, they are your servants. That is, you have the full authority over them. But if you forgive them, it is within your power, for you are all powerful and the one of wisdom. Shaykh Dahlawi rahmatullah alayhi, commenting on this hadith, states that the Quranic ayat which was recited the whole night by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the statement of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, which he will be making on the day of Qiyamah in regard to this ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented his ummah's case for forgiveness to Allah Ta'ala in the same manner. This loving attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bears testimony to his great love for the ummah. For the sake of this love, He sacrificed the comfort of whole night, petitioning and appealing to Allah Ta'ala to forgive his ummah. It will only be a callous and a heartless one whose heart is not moved when he hears of the great love which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-karima, and in fact this is the first command which Allah gives from the beginning of the Quran, from Alhamdul Sharif Alif Lam Mim, the first command that Allah Ta'ala gives is Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Allah is addressing the whole of mankind, and Allah says U'budu Rabbakum, make ibadat of your Rabb. Ibadat, we all know what is ibadat: namaz, roza, tilawat, etc. Ibadat is also to become the slave of Allah Ta'ala. And the slave in this dunya, though nowadays we don't have slaves, but when there were slaves, the slave totally belonged to the master. And whatever he earned also, it goes to the master. Whatever he does, he belonged to the master. But really, that is just to give us an idea, but we have to be slaves of Allah Ta'ala. One great Buzurg bought a slave in his time, and when he brought the slave home, he asked him, what will you eat? The slave says, what choice has a slave got? Whatever the master will give him to eat, he will eat that. What will you wear? He says, what choice have I got? Whatever you give, where will you sleep? Everything, he said, I got no choice. Like that, we have to be slaves of Allah. That we don't have any choice of our own. We have to work towards that our nafs gets completely finished. And we hand ourselves totally to Allah. And we find out, what does Allah want from me? And the whole Quran Sharif, where Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Fatiha, we must make this dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, show us the straight path. And then in Surah Baqarah, right at the beginning, Allah said, you ask for the straight path, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is that kitab that will show you the straight path, and there is absolutely no doubt in this kitab. No doubt that it is from our Creator. No doubt that it is, that will show you that it is the straight path. It is hudal lil muttaqeen. You wanted that hidayah, that straight path for those who fear Allah, those who recognize Allah is my Creator, I am His slave. And if we don't realize it, it doesn't mean we're not His slaves. We are still His slaves, but we are now His disobedient slaves. We are those who are transgressing and those who are running away from Allah, but we are still His slaves. And for those who recognize it, understand it, and accept it, that is a great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, which we call the ni'mat of Iman. Usually, Allah shukr, we make always shukr for the ni'mat of Iman, but this Iman is not just a word that I've got Iman. It is this reality that a person realizes that I've got no choice of my own. I can't do anything of my own. I belong fully to Allah Ta'ala, and I have to do what Allah wants me to do. That is what is that Iman that we make shukr on. Not just that we say that I make shukr on Iman, and that is that Iman that is going to give us salvation at the time of mort in the qabr. If it is just the word of Iman, then Allah protect us. It must not happen that we realize when it is too late that I was in the wrong boat. I was thinking I got Iman, but actually there is no iman, the reality of that iman. So here then Allah Ta'ala says, addressing all of mankind, make this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Also this, in the word ibadat, is abdiyat, to become a total slave, to surrender, to humble oneself totally in by Allah Ta'ala. That is what is required. And then this is the beauty of the Quran Sharif, that it hasn't just given us the command. Allah is the absolute power, absolute owner, creator of conditions, controller of conditions. From Him we have come, to Him we are going to return. He could just have given this command and it was finished. We have to accept it. We've got no choice. But Allah Ta'ala explained it to us and made it so clear to us. Why should we worship Allah Ta'ala? It wasn't necessary for Allah to give a reason. But Allah Ta'ala has explained it, and in detail Allah has given it. And the reason for that is, may let us refresh this lesson. Let us realize it. Alladhi khalaqakum. It is He who created you. He did not make you. He did not manufacture you. He created you. And He created you from nothing. He didn't create us even from raw materials. At one time, there was no raw materials also. All that also Allah created. At one time, we were not in existence. Our name wasn't in existence. Nobody spoke about us also. Even our parents, who Allah made the cause of us coming in this world, they haven't created us either. But they are just the cause, Allah's system Allah has made. But at one time, they also knew nothing about us. Before our mothers conceived us, we were nothing. The mother hardly spoke about anything. When she conceived, then she spoke a little bit, that I'm expecting a child now, discussing it with our father, will it be a boy, girl, wish it's a boy, girl, whatever else the detail. But before that, we were not even spoken about. لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. We were not even spoken about. So who is it who created us? Allah. So we have to understand this. Allah is our creator. And through all times, the conditions that are presently, what are prevalent, we should, in one way, it is a blessing in disguise also. That at this time, many of us, we take stock of our iman. That am I still believing that Allah is my creator? No. Of course, if this condition, until a person is not in the exam room, he might think, I know the whole book, I know everything. But when he's answering the questions, then he realizes. Sometimes a person prepares a bayan also. Like that he feels, I know my bayan. But when he makes it, then he finds that he's getting mixed up now. Or a person making taraweeh. The whole day he made dur. He's quite confident, I know my dur. But when he's on the musalla, then it comes out. Then he gets surprised where he's getting stuck. And where he's getting a blank. So just like that iman, we feel we have got it. But at the time of maut, when everything will be removed, when we will be asked in the qabr, Mar Rabbuka, when there won't be our shops, we won't be the food on the table, there won't be anything, who is the one who nourishes and sustains you? Who created you? If now we not being obedient to Allah, the ibadat of Allah, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and because we feel that I am free, Allah hasn't created me, I can do as I please, and I listen to who I want to, and I refuse to listen to whom I want to. It isn't in us that I have to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So this is a great lesson for this time, that in these times also we understand that Allah alone is my creator. Allah has got no partner in my creation, in anything. Allah has got no partner. So I have to be totally obedient to Allah, totally subservient to Allah. I have to find out what are the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, and I have to obey them. So much so the Quran has explained this, the Quran Sharif, that our parents who were the outward cause of our coming in this world. And the Quran has given after the ibadat of Allah, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah has made a ruling, a decision, that you should worship none other besides Allah. He is your creator. And together with that, Allah Ta'ala said, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ. And with your parents, a good relationship. Treat them well. Respect and honor your parents. And then again Allah Ta'ala says, but if your parents tell you to disobey me, though so much the Quran, no religion, no other kitab, Torah, Zabur, Injil, no other kitab has stressed so much the importance of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. But Allah says, if they tell you not to follow Allah, then you won't listen to them in that. Still, the respect of theirs must still be maintained. And you will still keep a good relationship with them outwardly, but you won't obey them in my disobedience. There is no obedience for the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. So we have to understand, and this is the time when we are being tested. All of us are being tested. How much are we passing? How much are we failing? And in any case, now we might see the results, we might not see it ourselves. But at the time of maut, when Malakul Maut will take our ruh, at that time, whether our ruh is going with iman or not, then in the qabr, and then for how long we will be in the qabr. If a person has to be in quarantine for even 3 days, 14 days, people have committed suicide. People have become mentally disarranged by being in isolation for 14 days, that my own children don't want to come near me also. That even everything of mine is done with remote control. Nobody wants to come anywhere near me. Then in the qabr, if we did not obey Allah, and we have to be in quarantine, in isolation, and if it has to be for 1,000 years, Allah knows when Qiyamah will come. How long will that be? Those realities are very important that they be in front of us. We are only worried of the immediate things of this dunya. If I do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that will happen. And everything besides the commands of Allah are doubtful. What Allah, His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught, that is absolute, 100%. Whatever is man-made is doubtful. And it's not just a word, but man's ideas keep on changing. Today is one law, tomorrow is another law. Tomorrow the law is more intensified, the next day the law is relaxed again. These things keep on changing. What is good for us today, as a child, what was good for us, and later we realize that was very bad for me. A child will like sweets a lot, but later the child will realize the sweets completely destroyed me. A person in his youth will die for his cigarettes. In his old age, he'll curse those cigarettes. That now I can't breathe, now I'm having this problem, then he will realize. But Allah's laws, he will never ever change. They are 100%, they've stood the test of time since Allah created the world until the day of Qiyamah. They will stand the test of time. So that is the commandments of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. Just a little other benefits also in it, we will see. That observing the laws of Allah Ta'ala, what great benefits. One person went to the doctor and he explained to the doctor that I'm very ill, all my problems, sicknesses, different types of sicknesses. And he said, not only me, but my family also, everyone in the family. This one has got that problem, that one has got that problem, all different problems. Doctor listened to him and he realized this is not my job. So he referred him to another doctor. He went to the other doctor, explained to him. He also realized this is not my department. He referred to him, what he said, another doctor. When he went there, but he said, there's not a surgery here. This looks different here. What is this here? And when the doctor came, he saw, no, this is not a doctor. It was a Maulana, a sheikh.
and it was a khanqa. He sent him there. So then he asked him, like the other two doctors asked him, he also asked him, what's wrong? So he says that everyone in the family, we've got problems, this sickness, that sometimes jadu, sometimes sickness, sometimes this, all of us got problems. So he says, namaz in your life? So he says, alhamdulillah, five times namaz, nafil also, ishraq, chash, tawabin, everything I make. And zakat, properly we give our zakat. Properly, no, nothing short. Properly, plus lillah also we give. And then he said, I'm sure the hajj also you have made. Yes, hajj faraz also, nafal also, umrah also, everything. Then he asked him that, and further your income. He said, alhamdulillah, very good income. No shortage whatsoever. Every month we get returns, very good returns. Then he asked him, from where are those returns? So then he told him, I've made like investments with the bank on fixed deposit, on other side interest which is coming. So he says, that is where your problem is. Your income, so when we disobey Allah, so now that that interest that was coming, that was causing all this problem. So then he analyzed it with him, and he told him, you go home now, and you correct all these matters. And after 6 months, you come back to me again. He went, and well before 6 months, he came back. So I told him to come after 6 months. He says that already all my problems are solved. Now nobody is sick. So this is obedience of the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Then we see all this. And when we disobey Allah, yeah, in this world, then we have got this problem and that problem. It might be our income is not right. It might be we are making zulm on somebody. We have made zulm on somebody. Like, for example, our car doesn't want to move. So if I have got that mentality that now I take more soap and water, wash my car more, polish it, let it shine even more, but still it's not moving. I'm polishing the tires also, but still it's not moving. There is something wrong, maybe in your fuel pipe, there is some blockage there. Until you don't fix that up, no matter how much you're going to shine your car, it's not going to help. We might think that there can't be a stupid person like that. We can make as much nafal namaz as we want to. Shine ourselves in the day also, we shine ourselves, and at night also we shine ourselves. But we are making zulm on somebody. We have made zulm, we haven't asked for maaf, or our income is not right, or whatever other disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, ghibat, bed biting, watching of TV, mixing with women freely, whatever it might be, all those wrong things, and then we are having some problems. Correct those problems of us, we don't have the importance of sunnah in our lives. We break the laws, go against the sunnah, then how can, that is where our problems come. So we have to correct that and understand obedience to Allah is going to give us the correct result. One person went to a buzurg, you are rich, wealthy person, generous person. He says, I want to spend in the path of Allah, but I would like such a to give it to the most worthy, the best cause. Everyone will like his money to be spent, which is the best, where somebody is really in need, a very good cause for the sake of deen. Deen will flourish, people's difficulties will be alleviated. So the buzur told him, you first worry about your income, whether your income is pure or not. So he just passed it off that this buzur is very making mubalagha, very exaggerated. He's too particular, he's like too pious. Leave him alone, he's too pious. That he is now worried about that. I want to give my money, I want to give it to somebody who will benefit, and he's putting me backwards. I must go and see that my income is clean. So he didn't worry about the buzurg. He went, he saw a blind person, he thought, there is a worthy cause, let me give the money to this person. He gave him, The next day he was passing there, he saw the same blind person again, and he was blind, he didn't know. So he was talking with somebody, and he said, yesterday somebody gave me a good amount of money, and then I went with my friends, and at night we were drinking, and we were all the liquor we were having, and we had a wonderful time, according to his understanding. So he said, oh, where I gave my money? So then he went back to the Buzurg. Now he got an understanding that, you know, what he's saying is right. So the Buzurg, he told him this. So the Buzurg gave him one gold coin, dinar. And he told him, you go and give it to the first person you see. When he went out from there, the first person he sees, a nice, well-dressed person, looks well. So he thought, I can't give it to this person. This person, but he said, he told me to give it to him. So he gave it to him. He gave it to him, he took it, he went. And he went to where all the refuse is collected, or the town's refuse, where they dump it. This person went in there. So he was surprised. He went in there, he followed him. Then he saw that he went out from the other side again, into this dump yard, the refuse area, and he went. So he went after him, asked him, what are you doing? Why you came here? So he says, I'm a very poor person. My children haven't eaten for a number of days. But hunger is bringing them. I can't see the hunger of theirs. So I found this dead bird in this dump yard. And I was taking it, refuse place, and I was going to feed them with this, that at least something they can eat. But since you gave me that money, now I don't need, I went and drop it back in that refuse place. And now I'll buy something good for them and feed them. Then he realized whether it is our income, whether it is anything, we obey Allah, the results will come accordingly. We disobey Allah, we see the consequences. So presently also, Allah's command. Allah is the one who created us. And Allah makes it more clear, clearer. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Allah didn't only create you who are present now, all those before you. Right from the beginning, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is the one who created all. And till today, Allah is the one who created. When He is our creator, whatever our eyes, who made it? Did our parents make those eyes? Did we make the eyes? Did some optometrists make our eyes? Our hearts, who made our hearts? And the system today is a big cardiologist, famous in the world, because he knows what Allah has made. He has studied that. It's nothing. He didn't make that heart or anything. And yet, he will also come to the point when he says, I don't understand now. This is beyond me now. Nobody, one top doctor says, he says, the human body brings us to our knees. The way the body is, though we have studied so much, we understand so much, but how the body functions, it baffles us. So who is the maker of this, and who is the giver of all that knowledge, is none other but the one wahdahu la sharika lahu. That is only Allah Ta'ala. So we have to turn to Allah. And how much we will turn sincerely. And this is a time when it must not happen that we lose our iman. There is a time we turn to Allah. And Allah's help is there all the time. Allah is there, Allah is all the time. If we have spoiled our relationship with Allah, we must correct it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just abandon any person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't leave us to our own. It is our relationship with Allah. So during these times, we have to turn more to Allah, more to the obedience of Allah. But when the hearts become hard, many places Allah explains, then we go further away from Allah at such times. Instead of coming closer to Allah, we go further away. Instead of coming to the masajid, we go away from the masajid. Instead of coming to the obedience of Allah, we go to the obedience of ghairullah, of others besides Allah Ta'ala. So this is the time that we have to come more towards Allah, turn towards Allah Ta'ala, beg of His mercy, and cry towards Him. And all this Allah Ta'ala has brought about, not just haphazardly. Allah Ta'ala, because of our disobedience of Allah. And we have to try, if we can't trace today we are so blind also, and it isn't the eyes that are blind, but it is the hearts which are blind. And we can't see where we are going wrong. In fact, we are today, which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when we regard poison as medicine, and medicine as poison, so much we can't differentiate. What is harmful for us, we regard that is absolutely good and necessary. And what is good for us, we regard that as harmful. Hey, when the laws are made also in that direct, in that way, and everything opposite, then when the heart, if we're going further away from Allah, we can't find the mercy of Allah. The only way, when we run to Allah, and there is no other way, no salvation but to go back to Allah Ta'ala. All these conditions are from Allah, and Allah alone is the one who can remove these conditions. So we have to go back to Allah Ta'ala, and then He is the one who will remove these conditions. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq for that. There are various our normal that basically it is tawbah, istighfar. Durood Sharif brings Allah's rahmat in great abundance. Sadaqah, Allah Ta'ala changes taqdeer by sadaqah. A person whose maut is written as a bad maut without iman, by sadaqah, Allah changes it into a good maut also. Du'as to have the same effect also. So these are the things that we must do. If we can, then we try and read, if we read on our own, Durood Sharif 3 times, and if we read Durood at Tunjina even more better, otherwise any Durood, and then 500 times La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah, if we didn't do it, and then again 3 times Durood Sharif, and then make dua to Allah Ta'ala. If we can't, 500 times is not really much, but if we can't, get 10 people, each one reads 50 times, and if we get 50 people, each one reads 10 times. It's easy. And then we can just ask 50 people, all read 50 times, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It won't take any time whatsoever with Durood Sharif before and after. After that we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Well, we make khatam of Quran, but ask the ulama that we mustn't fall into bid'at also, into other rusumat, into other wrong practices. So whichever way we turn to Allah with our amal, beg of Him, the main thing is to correct our lives, to make tawbah, istighfar. Allah guide us all to righteousness, and let us give us this understanding and the tawfiq. Today when the winds are blowing very strong against iman, everyone practically is talking against iman. Now to remain when these winds blow, yeah, elephant also flies away. Otherwise, an elephant which is so strong, but it also flies away when these winds, when tsunamis come, then everything just goes. Huge trees whose roots are firm in the ground, when that floods come and that tsunamis, it takes everything away. So at this time, Allah give us tawfiq that we remain and our iman remains firm, planted, rooted until maut comes.